This is Jay Sekulow. It is the 11th anniversary of the attack on the United States.
Good morning, America. I'm Charles Gibson.
I'm Diane Sawyer, and it's Tuesday, September 11th, 2001.
Take a look at the highlights for today. New York City, beautiful day here. 80 degrees today.
It is beautiful outside. Perfect September day with lots of sunshine.
It's kind of quiet around the country. We like quiet. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
Live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
It appeared to bank sharply and smash directly, perhaps purposefully, into... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
There's another one.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. There's another one.
This seems to be on purpose.
Now it's obvious, I think.
Looks as if there's people hanging from the windows.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world.
Light up, as if you have a choice. Even if you cannot hear my voice,
I can hear you!
There are different heroes in different situations. There are different people that deserve that label. But I don't know of a more fitting label or title for those guys that were running up the stairs than the hero.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We've got a very special broadcast for you because we are looking at the 11th anniversary of those horrible attacks by Islamic radicals on the United States in New York, in Pennsylvania, and of course in Washington, D.C. We're going to take a look back. We're going to be playing for you a very special series of interviews we did, some with survivors of the 9/11 attack and family members that lost people in 9/11 and what 9/11 has meant to them in the post period. We don't forget. It was just, remember, a few months ago that President of the United States, President Obama, ordered through our SEALs the termination of Osama bin Laden. But that does not end the challenge. In fact, the challenge continues. I want to play for you right now a trailer of a movie we put together called The Export. This gives you the sense of what Islamic radicals' plan actually is.
Is there a war going on with Iran right now?
This is the longest ongoing war in the Middle East. The Islamic Republic of Iran tried to obtain nuclear weapon and tried to export the revolution to proxy jihadist movement in the Middle East, trying to imitate the genius in the revolution of Khomeini to other places. And at the same time, the secret services of the United States and Israel declared war on Iran, and this is the clandestine war between these two forces.
When we come back from the break, we're going to have more from our special presentation of individuals whose lives were impacted directly by 9/11. We'll have more from The Export as well. But there is persecution going on. We were celebrating yesterday in the broadcast the release of Iranian pastor Youssef Nardakhani from jail, a tremendous victory with millions, 3 million tweets a day going out on Pastor Nardakhani's behalf. But let me say this to our friends around the country. We are right now engaged in other issues where Christians are being persecuted, including Egypt. Do you know our government just authorized another $1.5 billion to the Islamic regime by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt? $1.5 million while they are authorizing Christians to be crucified, churches to be destroyed in Egypt. And you're saying to yourself, how could this be? We're filing a protest on this, and I want you to be a part of it. You need to speak out against this directly. You can sign on to this petition right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nadakhani in Iran after 3 years of imprisonment because of his Christian faith is truly a significant victory. But the persecution continues for countless other Christians in countries where radical Islam has a strong foothold. Nowhere is that more evident than in Egypt, where the new government, the Muslim Brotherhood, has taken control. Egypt's new president says the Egyptian Christians need to know that, quote, conquest is coming. The danger and persecution facing them is very real and deeply troubling. The American Center for Law and Justice continues to stand up for the rights of Christians in Egypt. Sign on to our petition to defend Egypt's Christians. It's time for the Obama administration to condemn this anti-Christian movement and cut off U.S. aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nadakhani in Iran after 3 years of imprisonment because of his Christian faith is truly a significant victory. But the persecution continues for countless other Christians in countries where radical Islam has a strong foothold. Nowhere is that more evident than in Egypt, where the new government, the Muslim Brotherhood, has taken control. Egypt's new president says the Egyptian Christians need to know that, quote, conquest is coming. The danger and persecution facing them is very real and deeply troubling. The American Center for Law and Justice continues to stand up for the rights of Christians in Egypt. Sign on to our petition to defend Egypt's Christians. It's time for the Obama administration to condemn this anti-Christian movement and cut off U.S. aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
I've spent 10 years trying to sing these doubts away, but the water keeps on falling from my eyes.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking a look back at 9/11 and the tragedy of 9/11. Before we do that, I do want to ask you to stand with our brothers and sisters in Egypt that are being persecuted for their faith, especially the Coptic Christians there. This is as we celebrated the Youssef Nadakhani release, we're not going to be forgetting for a moment that Christians are being persecuted in the Middle East under these Muslim regimes. And our United States government's just authorized another $1.5 billion to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt. We want that funding stopped, and we want a recognition of the human rights and human dignity of Christians in the Middle East. You can help us right now by signing a petition that's going to the Obama White House, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Now for some people that were impacted by 9/11.
He was working in the World Trade Center. He was working on the 105th floor. I was working on the 77th floor. And we went into work together like we did every day. And I got down to the train depot, and the first train we took, and I said to him, Todd, why don't we take the ferry over the Hudson? And he said, no, I'm gonna take the train. I said, Todd, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Come with Daddy, you know, we'll take. No. It's too cold. He just was lazy, I said to him. He didn't want to take the ferry because it's a little longer walk. But in any event, I said to him, have a great day, sweetheart.
Christopher saw the world in a very simple way, and he wanted to be a firefighter from the time he was a little boy. Al was in the fire department for over 40 years, and I know that had something to do with it. He was the spark in our family.
My son used to, you know, he was only on the job for a short time, and he would constantly say, oh, we didn't catch any work yet, we haven't had a good job. And I said, you know, relax, you'll get some work, don't worry.
I was a firefighter detailed into the mayor's office of emergency management. So basically I wasn't really wearing the helmet anymore, I was wearing a tie. And helping represent the Mayor Giuliani at the scene of major emergencies in New York City. Everybody remembers how beautiful the day was. Beautiful fall day, and just spectacular. And I went to work at 7 World Trade Center, which was my office, just like a normal day. And I was having breakfast around 8 a.m., 8:30, in our cafeteria, and I was just sitting there reading the paper.
I was 19 years old. I was at George Washington University as a student, and had an early morning class. So I was in our political science building at GW, and for people that don't know, it's right in the middle of the city. It's actually right next to the State Department and just across the bridge from the Pentagon. On September 10th, 2001, I started interning at the Department of Justice. So, in their public affairs. So Ashcroft was the Attorney General.
I was destined for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again dispatched by the president, as other cabinet members were, to be reading with students that day.
I basically worked for NYPD Emergency Service Unit. We did heavy rescue and SWAT. We came in, we got our equipment for the day, our assignments for the day. I was doing a sector in Queens. We were going to get ready to get something to eat.
That day I was taking my daughter to the bus stop to pick up the bus to go to school. She was in middle school at the time.
I remember sitting in a three-seater behind my bus driver and saying to myself, today feels like this is going to be a day I'm never ever going to forget. And I didn't understand why I felt that.
For me, it was my first day of retirement. I had decided to retire in July of 2001, and this was the first day of school. So it was my first day of real retirement, and I expected the day to play out very differently.
Good morning, America. I'm Charles Gibson.
I'm Diane Sawyer, and it's Tuesday, September 11th, 2001.
Former presidential candidate Elizabeth Dole is ready to hit the campaign trail.
I can tell you what's the news down here in Washington, and it is Michael Jordan, probably the news all over the nation.
Take a look at the highlights for today. New York City, beautiful day here, 80 degrees today.
It is beautiful outside. Perfect September day with lots of sunshine.
It is lunchtime in London, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, and 8 a.m. here in New York, live from the CNN Financial News headquarters.
Nice as it can be across the Northeast. Rough seas still from the chop from that hurricane, but other than that, it's kind of quiet around the country. We like quiet. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
At about 8:46 on that morning, I was in my office. I was on the phone. And the building shook, boom! And it moved. And a glass case in my office exploded.
It's 8:52 here in New York. I'm Bryant Gumbel. We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that.
I remember the lights went out. And this, now this is a new high-rise, newer high-rise building, so for the power to go out, it's pretty unusual. So it went out, and 7 seconds later, it just came back on. And I knew from my experience that that meant that we lost a feeder cable. Something major happened. We lost a feeder cable, and the power came back on through another feeder cable. So I knew something fairly serious had occurred. And then the people that were sitting on the windows that looked at Tower One all got up and started running, screaming toward me.
And the radio started going off that a plane had crashed into one of the towers downtown.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. Clearly something relatively devastating happening this morning there. The south end of the island of Manhattan. That is, once again, a picture of one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Cynthia ran into my office, one of the women that works there. Mr. Ueda, what are we going to do? We were fortunate, not that many people were there yet. It was before 9 o'clock. And I said, Cynthia, follow me. Now, the World Trade Center at that time, if you know it, it was broken up into express and local floors, just like any building. But they called them sky lobbies. There was the first floor when you walked in, then there was the 44th floor, which was the first sky lobby, and then there was the 78th floor, which is the second sky lobby. Theirs were express. You can go right to 78, you can go right to 44. I had been in the building on February 26, 1993, when the truck exploded. So when this happened, I knew, leave. Don't hesitate, leave. Unfortunately, many people didn't follow that advice.
Were there any people hurt, do you know?
Ran, and everyone in the past train just ran. I don't know if anyone was hurt, but I assume they were because the windows were all blown out.
Move it! Move it! Move it! Move it! Come on!
I ran upstairs to the 23rd floor where my office was, which was also the emergency operations center for the city of New York. I wanted to ensure that the other units in our office were getting the help they needed, making sure their supervisors were on deck, because we had practiced and drilled for, you know, hundreds of times for major things like this.
We started racing down that way, because we're a citywide unit, and when something big happens, they usually need everybody from each borough to come. So me and my partner, we jumped in the truck, we raced down the Bell Parkway, and as we were going down there, you can see the smoke coming from the tower. It was a bad sight. It was a really bad sight. So I just figured this is just another plane crash, you know, pilot error. So we started racing down, the traffic started backing up, and we got up on the grass and around cars and over cars.
I started to leave, and I said, maybe I could go up to the 78th floor, get an express elevator out of here. But I went up to the 78th floor, and I saw the smoke was coming out of the elevators, and fire. And everybody was on the other side of the building. So I said, I'll go to the other side of the building. That saved me.
We come back from the break, folks. We're going to have more of these stories and more from the expo. We're going to take a look at what is motivating these Islamic radicals in their quest to bring this destruction, not just in the United States, but literally around the globe. We certainly have seen that since 9/11. Folks, again, we want you to sign on to this petition. The United States government is just authorized. It's hard for me to believe. $1.5 billion in additional aid to Egypt. But Egypt is run by the Muslim Brotherhood. Will not recognize Israel, and they're allowing for crucifixions of Christians and the destruction of churches under their regime and talking about Sharia law being implemented. So if you want to stand against this, I urge you, as we were successful in the Anarkani manner, when all of us work together, call us right now and add your name to this petition demanding that funding stop. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Trying to sing these doubts away, but the water keeps on falling from my eyes, and heaven knows, I try to find a cure for suffer like you do. It would be a lie to run away.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nadakhani in Iran after 3 years of imprisonment because of his Christian faith is truly a significant victory. But the persecution continues for countless other Christians in countries where radical Islam has a strong foothold. Nowhere is that more evident than in Egypt, where the new government, the Muslim Brotherhood, has taken control. Egypt's new president says the Egyptian Christians need to know that, quote, conquest is coming. The danger and persecution facing them is very real and deeply troubling. The American Center for Law and Justice continues to stand up for the rights of Christians in Egypt. Sign on to our petition to defend Egypt's Christians. It's time for the Obama administration to condemn this anti-Christian movement and cut off U.S. aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nadakhani in Iran after 3 years of imprisonment because of his Christian faith is truly a significant victory. But the persecution continues for countless other Christians in countries where radical Islam has a strong foothold. Nowhere is that more evident than in Egypt, where the new government, the Muslim Brotherhood, has taken control. Egypt's new president says the Egyptian Christians need to know that, quote, conquest is coming. The danger and persecution facing them is very real and deeply troubling. The American Center for Law and Justice continues to stand up for the rights of Christians in Egypt. Sign on to our petition to defend Egypt's Christians. It's time for the Obama administration to condemn this anti-Christian movement and cut off U.S. aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've been talking to you about individuals. You've heard from individuals that had their life impacted from 9/11. Let me give you one more of those to think about as we talk about this issue of Islamic radicalization.
I think this country came together, and I was never so proud of it, and I was at that time.
Why did 9/11 have to bring all of us together like this? It should have been together without this devastation, but this was something that taught us we can, as human beings, live with one another, and we can help one another.
D.C. is probably the most partisan place in the United States. People, everyone there in that group who's there for that reason, has a political, not only has a political opinion, but is getting paid based on their political opinion. That was gone, you know, for a while, in a good way.
In the days and weeks following September 11th, bumper stickers started appearing on firefighters in New York on their cars that said, on earth and in heaven, still the greatest job in the world, FDNY. And this was the pride and spirit of guys that had just lost a lot and were going to three or four funerals a day. True story. And when they weren't going to the funerals or memorial services, they were on the pile still trying to find if anyone was still alive there. Those are the greatest heroes I've ever met. People say that we've forgotten September 11th, that America has forgotten September 11th, and I disagree with that. I think that it's probably not in the forefront of everyone's everyday activities, like it is for me and for the families, but you know, for most of America, it's probably not. And that's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing for America to survive.
I know for a fact, and you can't blame them, without the 10th anniversary, say 6 years ago, you know, people in Idaho or wherever, they're not affected by that anymore. It's just like we're not affected by the bombing of Oklahoma. You know, at the time, you know, everybody is, you know, rah, rah, rah. But as time goes by, when you're not directly affected, you know, you kind of lose that that momentum, and you know, you just don't think about it, or you don't want to think about it. But when you live in this area, you think about it every day, every day.
As you think about the impact that 9/11 had on these families, I want you to get a deeper understanding of what the Islamic radicalization is all about, what its motivations are, and what the goals are. This is from our movie, The Export.
Iran was a free country. One has to remember, under the Shah, very advanced, very Western, very scientifically very impressive. It was taken over by this regime of fundamentalism, and really Black Knight came over Iran. So definitely America stands and works for the values that Iran is against. But there's a special role for Israel here. Iran uses rhetoric that we haven't heard for decades. Eliminating Israel. Israel should not exist, has no right to exist. Israel, I quote, is a cancerous tumor that should be removed from the Middle East. It's said again and again. So when you see a country that says you are not legitimate, you will not exist in the end of the game here, and we go nuclear and involved in terror like no other country, to put it in an understatement, is a cause for concern.
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
But it's interesting in a way, you see, let me go one step deeper.
Sure.
the paradigm that we knew was the paradigm of nation states. Israel is a Jewish state, they are Arab states. Now you see a religious approach. They speak not in terms of political dialogue with Israel, what the borders should be, what this policy should be, but they speak of illegitimacy in the name of God. From Iran, from Hezbollah, and from Hamas, you hear that it's a religious commandment that Israel should not exist, that a non-Muslim state cannot be here. If this has the upper hand, this trend, it's going to be tougher. This layer of religious fanaticism on top of political debates makes debates almost without a resolution. Because, you know, gods never compromise. People do. Right. If you get it from God that you can't have an enemy alive, then what hope do we have? So I think it's the interest of really world order that this new trend of making everything religious commandment and the fanaticism that goes with it loses this fight.
I don't have to be a scholar. You know, you just read Ahmadinejad's own speeches. You read their philosophy, you read their comments that they're making in public speeches in the Iranian press and international press, and it's clear. Their intention is right there. They're saying it explicitly.
Israel, you have said time and again, Israel must be wiped off the map. Please explain why.
I think that the Israeli government is a fabricated government.
The statements that they make that comes out of Ahmadinejad, which is approved by the Ayatollahs, if not written by the Ayatollahs, about Israel being a cancer that needs to be removed, Hamas saying this, and Israel needs to be destroyed. Is there any doubt in your mind that when they say that, that Israel should be wiped out, that they mean it?
I don't have the luxury not to believe it. It was a mistake that we made in our history where we thought, yeah, they only say they don't mean it. How can they really do this thing like this? Can they really eliminate the people? Can they destroy people? Can they build extermination camps? Well, we don't take things easily anymore.
Folks, again, we want you to sign on to this petition. The United States government is just authorized. It's hard for me to believe. $1.5 billion in additional aid to Egypt. But Egypt is run by the Muslim Brotherhood. Will not recognize Israel, and they're allowing for crucifixions of Christians and the destruction of churches under their regime and talking about Sharia law being implemented. So if you want to stand against this, I urge you, as we were successful in the Nardacani matter, when all of us work together, call us right now and add your name to this petition demanding that funding stop. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's going to do it for the broadcast today.
The American Center for Law and Justice continues to stand up for the rights of Christians in Egypt. Sign on to our petition to defend Egypt's Christians. It's time for the Obama administration to condemn this anti-Christian movement and cut off U.S. aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.